Okay, so hello again, dear colleagues. We still miss a couple of people, but I hope that they will join us soon. So, have we received any apologies, Kim?
Just from Martin Simon.
Okay, just from Martin. Okay, then let's hope that others really will join us. Yes, Alejandra is awake, I can see. Hello, Alejandra. She joined us in, at least in Adobe Room. Okay, so let's start with our agenda today. First one is this RZERC guideline. Kim, could you please upload it to the room? We have it in Google Docs. I don't know if you had the time to have a look at it. Google hasn't sent me any notification about changes in or comments or anything. So basically, it's mostly the same as we left it, a little bit more than a month ago. I just tried to address some of the questions asked by Miljana. Could we please make it a little bit bigger and scroll a little bit down to the first comment? Yep, here we have it. Yes, David, it was more or less fine. We just had some questions around skill set and requirements. As you remember, Martin sent us the latest version, but our RZERC charter is not out. The latest changes after a public comments period, they are not published yet, but... as far as I understood from Trang, there will be no any substantial changes in the charter. So what do we have? I still cannot read comments here. Could you please make it a little bit bigger? It's still unreadable. Well, at least I cannot read it if somebody can. Okay, I'll try to open it in Google. Okay. So the first comment from Anonymous we have here, ROs have many email lists and in some cases there are some not ccTLDs included. For this specific purpose, we shall ask the ROs to distribute the call for expression of interest on their members' list.
That Anonymous is Eduardo, sorry.
yes, I see now. Not now, I can see that because it's it says there. Yes. We used this wording exactly the way we used it in the guideline for CSC, and we did not state it there, but yes, I agree, we could include it as well. Kim, no, there. I don't see any arrows that could allow me to make it bigger. But I have it in separate windows, so I will read it out for everyone, so we can see text. So I will read comment. So what do others think about adding ROs to RO, ask ROs? Well, we certainly can ask them, but we cannot make them to distribute it in their mailing lists. In our guideline, it's it will still be up to them. We can include a request to that we ask, kindly ask them to distribute, but we won't, we cannot force them in our guidelines to do that. So, okay, I see that Ben and Martin agree with the idea. Could somebody please come up with the wording? David, maybe since you were the last who went through the document, maybe you could assist us with the wording here. Oh, sorry, you were the last to work on another document, but on a board document. But if you agree, it would be really nice. Okay, so next was a comment from Mirjana. She proposed to have set instead of issued. Personally, I think we issue the call, but if others think that set is fine here, it's okay with me.
Sorry, Mirjana speaking.
Yep.
I don't think so. It is okay to be issued also. I don't know. In this moment, it looked me better set, but I'm not an English native.
Yeah, well,
so native
neither
speaker,
am I.
So.
So I just, yeah. So I,
no, it doesn't.
I have a feeling that we issue calls, not set them. So, okay. Martin also agrees that issue.
Yeah,
so
it's okay.
I resolve this. Next, we have a comment from Eduardo here. Probably we do for the councillors, we have to include a definition for conflict of interest for the representatives from the ROs. Right now, it is not clear when could exist such a conflict. The conflict exists when the RO representative work in the same CCTOD than the candidate, or the conflict become because the candidate is from the same region of the RO. I don't think that being from the same region has anything to do with
this is Eduardo.
Yes.
Yes, but the point is that we have a clear definition where our conflict of interest for the councillors, but we don't have the same for the regional organizations, and we are here.
I understand the idea. Yes.
Will be
okay, we could certainly add it. Yes, I agree. We could add something like that. Martin, we will work on the wording. I think we haven't had this final reading yet. But I think, again, the wording is the same we used in the guideline for Customer Standing Committee. And, yes, it was the 2359 UTC. It was included there as well. I recall correctly. Well, it doesn't mean that we have to keep it here, but we could certainly correct it. So another point we should add a clause about conflicted representatives from the regional organizations. What do we understand with that? Yes. So next one we have here, again, another comment from Eduardo around the next paragraph. Perhaps we could consider to include some kind of reconsideration process. I meant a window of time where some specific deficiencies on the candidate presentation could be amended or better explained. Eduardo, could you be more specific? What's the idea here?
Yes, yes, Caprina. Did you hear us that, considering that the candidates are going to present their presentations, better. I'm going to start again. The idea here is that the decisions of the council could be asked for some kind of appeal process for the same candidates. Because probably, and sometimes, the selection criteria will not very well interpret it because the candidate did not present, for example, their experience on technical issues of the DNS, but he really had that experience. But probably he didn't explain very well when he submitted the application or the candidate or to application for the position. So my question here is, there are not a possibility to a candidate who has been rejected to present a reconciliation process to the selection committee? That's mine.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Eduardo, for explaining this in more detail. I see David's hand is up. Is it around the same issue? Yes, please, David.
It is. Thank you, Caprina, and thank you, Eduardo. I think Eduardo raises a good point, but I also think if there was some kind of an appeal mechanism, it would make it very difficult for the council. And I think what we need here is to have a very clear call for expressions of interest, with encouraging each candidate to be as thorough and to read the call for expression as clearly as possible. And there's issues of timeliness involved if there's appeals. I think it's a good point. I mean, I don't disagree with what Eduardo is saying if somebody misunderstood and didn't get a fair shake, but really the burden, I think, is on them. And on the, I think the burden on the CCNSO is at the initial point to make sure that the call for expression is clear, comprehensive, understandable. So this is a difficult issue. Anyway, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, David. Please lower your hand unless you want to say something else. Thank you. I think you're right, David. I believe that this time, well, next time at least, we'll definitely have more time. We can do more considerations around all the applications. But at the same time, I agree that this is kind of an IQ test for those we select, and we need the best individuals. If they fail to present themselves properly, so probably they should not try to represent us on any committee because, if they fail to represent us and won't be given any opportunity to correct whatever they're trying to deliver. So this could do us a disservice. So, yeah, I think I agree with David's point that the burden is on them and they should be really careful when they submitting their applications, and it should do the best they can in the first place. Yes, please, Eduardo.
Thank you, Caprina. Yes, I agree with David's point that probably the most important thing them is to have a much more clear definition on the call for expressions. But my point is that the fail probably not just could come from the candidates. The fail could be also by the selection committee. But if we have a very clear, more clear document to present the expressions, so it could be solved. But the main point to have a reconciliation process is because I see that the process could fail in both parts, not just from the candidate, but also for the people who are analyzing these candidates, this candidate skills or presentation. So my point was not just because there were deficiencies from the candidate. There were deficiencies at the process or for both parts. But I could come with David's proposal, then taking more time to analyze the criteria and how will be qualified and defined that criteria. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. At this point, we do not define any criteria. We use criteria that are defined in the ARZARC charter by ICANN. So we'll talk about criteria a little bit later. I see Martin's hand is up. Yes, please, Martin.
Thanks, Katrina. I actually, since putting my hand up, noticed that I think David has highlighted in the chat the sort of same point as that I was going to make. We really are looking at trying to make the expressions of interest and the requirements for those expressions of interest quite clear. I can understand a lot of the points that Eduardo is making, particularly as people could well be working in a foreign language. But that also sparked in my mind the question of whether we are in a position as the CCNSO to handle questions from people during the application process. So in other words, somebody who isn't quite sure what the guidelines actually mean by a particular point or how much information is being looked for on a particular point could come through and discuss that. So that they, it helps them target the process. I was starting to try and see this in terms of, you know, if you were applying for any job that was actually going to pay money, then you would probably make contact with the people who were doing the recruiting if you had any questions. But certainly if you didn't meet the interests and requirements of the people doing the recruitment, then your application would almost certainly be rejected and there would be no basis for appeal. The last point I'd like to make, though, is that perhaps as this process runs, there could always usefully be a request for feedback, not just from the people who applied, but more generally about the process, so that next time round, if there seemed to be lack of clarity in the words, the wording could be put right. If there seemed to be lack of clarity about what documents should be provided, then that could be put right. So it just seems to me that you know, so perhaps there are ways not immediately of responding to Eduardo's concerns, but certainly making sure that we get better each and every time. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. Yeah, well, absolutely agree with that. That's why one of the reasons why we do translation into plain English, so we want to make sure that it's clear and there's hopefully only one way that you can understand whatever is written. Yes, David.
Thank you, Katrina. I just wanted to make to thank Martin. I think that's a great idea. The only thing I would suggest about it is it might be, if it's not a personal question, if it's about the process or the understanding of the qualifications, that it be done by email to the Secretariat and that responses be made public, you know, very quickly so that everybody has the benefit of that question and answer that is considering being a candidate. Thank you.
Well, absolutely. That's, I think it's a good suggestion. So where should we put it? I think it should be put into the call for expression of interest. Also, okay, maybe it could be also included in the guideline somewhere, but it definitely has to be in the call, because I doubt that many people will go and read the actual guideline. Should be in the call. We have it in appendix. So let's add some wording to that. Who could help us with the wording? David volunteered. Thank you. In any case, I think that I think whoever takes notes, put it as an action item so that we do not forget, because at this point I'd like to resolve this comment from Eduardo. So that we do not forget it, please have it as an action item. Yeah, thank you. Here we have discussions around set of skills and experience, general technical versus strong technical. I'm sure that I wrote it in the email. I'll stress it again. This is exact wording copied from the email sent by Martin. And apparently these are requirements that will be appear in the new wording of the RZAC charter. I think we definitely can come up with additional set of skills. I'm sure it's our right to do that, but but I'd like to hear your opinion. Should we do that? Yes, Eduardo, please.
Thank you, Katrina. Yes, my point, commenting this topic into consideration is that due to the specific responsibilities that this person has to deal with at the RZAC, I guess that they need to have a deeper technical knowledge, not just some kind of knowledge that could be defined as general one, because when we are very, very wide and very unspecific as saying a general technical knowledge, everyone could say, okay, I have a general technical knowledge. And that is not good enough to represent our interests on the RZAC. That's my point. And we are giving much more attention to his abilities to communicate and to be part of a group of jobs than the abilities that they have to have in order to understand the situation that he will have to face up and to deal with. That's my explanation of why I'm questioning.
No, I totally agree. Totally agree, and I also thought that they were looking for a person with in-depth technical knowledge. But this is the wording that appeared. That was the wording that was sent to us by Martin. No comment on that. Of course, we can ask for strong technical knowledge, and we'll have at least somebody with strong technical knowledge on that committee, because maybe others will. Well, I think probably that because there are some communities that do not have people with a strong technical knowledge. I don't know. I really have no clue why they changed that. I also would expect them to be techies. Okay, so we can change to strong technical knowledge. I think we can ask for something more than is asked by. Strong technical knowledge, of course, will cover general technical knowledge that's included in the work wording. Martin?
Thanks, Trina. Yes, while that conversation was going on, I flicked back through my emails to try and find Martin's input. And in that process, I found an email that he forwarded about the discussion in the CWG. And it was an email that came in from Trang that he forwarded that I homed in on. And that said that the ARZERC is the group that will be reviewing issues relating to the architecture and operational systems for the DNS root zone as it evolves and providing recommendations to the ICANN board to ensure the security, stability and resilience of the root zone. Appointees to the ARZERC must have a strong overall understanding of the root zone and must be able fully to represent their appointing organization's particular interest in the root zone. So I think just going on that, I think that rather supports our thought that strong would be a good idea. The other thing that sparked me about what Trang actually said is that makes a very clear reference to the root zone rather than to the DNS. I just will put my hand up there and say, well, you know, perhaps we should just spend at least one round of comments from colleagues on this call to see whether we think making the wording strong overall understanding of the root zone is better than strong technical knowledge of the DNS. I personally don't have any great feeling there, but there might be significance that colleagues recognize in that different wording. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. If you scroll down the same email to Yuko's input, so she's circulating the ARZERC member qualification criteria to the list, and the first one is must possess general technical knowledge of the DNS. Well, again, I totally agree that there must be a strong knowledge on the root zone, but, well, that's as good as it is. Of course, yes. I agree that we need people with the people must understand why they are applying to this committee and what will be required from them. But currently, the requirements they are what they are. That's why I wanted to wait until the final version of the ARZERC charter. But since we need to speed up the process and definitely we'll need to have to set up the process and adopt this guideline. I don't know. Maybe we should wait and unless we come up with our own skill set. I think it should somehow be, the charter somehow needs to be reflected in the guideline, and especially in the call of interest, for expression of interest. But we certainly can be stricter. So to David's comment in the chat window, I suspect the ARZAC charter as it is today will not change much. No, as I mentioned, Frank, that there will be no substantial changes in the charter. But still, we haven't seen the final version yet. Okay, so I think we had this root zone requirement before, root zone knowledge requirement before. Sure, we should be add some more skills requirements so that people understand what they. What they need to know and what they will be expected to do there on the committee. Okay, so I will try to come up with some more requirements here, taking into account input from Trang. Okay, next one, ability to coordinate and consult with their respective organizations and communities to communicate issues under consideration and bring relevant expertise to the committee. And Eduardo's comment, I don't have clear on what this criteria is making reference. We should make it more explicit to and refer to CCNSO, not to their respective communities, but to the CCNSO. Yeah, okay, we'll correct that. Let's move down. We're still working on the skill set, so it's not final yet. Then we have 5.2.2. We had comment from Mirjana. So I think again this is a part similar to the one we used in our guideline for customer standing committee. The process here is that we close the call for expression of interest, then the secretariat sends information about all the candidates to all the councillors eligible to vote. They compile their up to top three candidates and send within the first paragraph here where Mirjana commented it wasn't clear why councillors have 1 week and secretariat has 6 days. That's not the case here. The call is closed, councillors have 5 days, then secretariat has 1 day compile the list, so it's 6 days, and then after secretariat sends out information to the councillors, the seventh day after the call was closed, the councillors vote on the results. So they do not vote on the candidate, they just approve the final results. That's the process here. If it's not clear, perhaps we should move the first paragraph and make it one of the last ones. If it still seems unclear, I'd like to hear your suggestions how to make it clearer. Dear colleagues, okay, it seemed okay to David. If there are no more objections, I will resolve this. David and Martin, okay. So I resolve this one. But there's a next one. And next one is. In the CSC guideline, we had up to 5 candidates, and the points assigned were 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Here we have a proposal to rank up to, come up with up to top three candidates and assign points like 5, 3, and 1, which I think means that if we have, well, at least that's a feeling I tried to come up with a mathematical model here, but since I am a mathematician, I'm really horrible at math. So I think that if we have, for example, three councillors voting, supporting, well, giving 5 points to a candidate, which, for example, like five or six other councillors place a second, or not, maybe not second, but third, for example, he still can come up as the first, even though probably more councillors support. Maybe they do not place him, him or her, whatever, the person number one. They still put it at number two or number three, but the person still has more support than the one who got 5 points. I don't know if I make it clear, but my proposal was maybe we should stick to 3-2-1 point system, not 5-3-1, because otherwise I think this person can get, well, somebody can submerge on top with not broad support from other councillors. Especially it's true if we have, for example, 6 or 7 candidates. Okay, David would support 3-2-1. Any other? Okay, no strong views from Martin, and Eduardo hopefully supports David's approach. Okay, if there's no strong support for 5-3-1 method of counting, then I will send it 3-2-1 and resolve. Okay, I think that is more or less it. We have a vacancy here, and Bart had, it's not included in the Charter of Arzark, but apparently it's worth keeping it here. I totally agree, especially because actually Arzark does not set any terms for the service, and communities can change their representatives at any point of time, and I think we keep this vacancy part. And here we'll have to add on this annex, we'll have to add part about questions. And publish answers. And just to remember, it will be a placeholder, and okay. Okay, I think we're more or less clear about this. Still need some work to do. And we'll try to do it as quickly as possible. We need to submit this guideline to the councillors a week before we have a council call, and it's on 1st September. So we still have a couple of weeks to work on this guideline. Okay. Can we move to the next guideline? It's a board selection guideline. I send latest, well, hopefully the final version to you. David did the last polishing of this guideline, and unless somebody has some strong objections, probably I'll try to walk you through the guideline, usual part introduction and purpose. Then we have time and process. There are still some things that will need to be placed into this guideline once the new bylaws have become effective and relevant empowered community procedures are in place. So at this point we have placeholders here. Then we have a clear understanding on the timeline. Now we don't have election manager, we have nomination manager. That's one of the changes we had to include in the guideline because of the new requirements in the bylaws. The call, again, we have the usual nominating template and the seconding template. So clearer roles of the CCNSO members and councillors, who does what. Candidate statements are also included here. So at the CCNSO meeting days, candidates will be given the opportunity to present their statements and reply to all the questions that the community might have. Election and runoff election, that's again, procedure here. And at the end, we have this nomination by the CCNSO Council when we do the final approval and send information to the ICANN secretary and also to the EC administration. Well, that's how we also have included this. This guideline will be reviewed every third year starting from 2019. Or in the event of changing circumstances. That's a very, very brief overview of the guideline. Now, thanks to David, we have the correct references to the new bylaws, all these articles and sections, because all the numbering changed a little. Basically, we think that the guideline is ready for signing off. Any questions, any comments, anything? This is the last moment you can speak up, because if no, we will finalize it and it will send to the council a week before the next call. Yes, David, I'm absolutely certain that you support the guideline being finalized. So anyone else, anything you'd like to say, anything? Looks good to Martin too. And if others do not object, we will consider this finalized. Okay, thank you very much. Whew, that's great. Yes, exactly. Bravo, thanks a lot to all of you who were involved in drafting this. It's always great to have something finalized. So, yes, exactly. Let's applaud for that. So, can we open the next guideline, the one I sent just at the end of last week? It's about the specific review teams. Martin, yes, you have a hand up. Yes, please. Unmute if you want to talk. Yeah.
Sorry, a mistake.
Oh, you mean you wanted to upload? And in, okay. That's fine, that's fine. So a new guideline. A new guideline in front of us. It's about specific review teams. Yes, David?
Thank you, Katrina. I did take a look at this over the weekend, but I haven't had a chance to write down my thoughts. But I do have a number of comments, and I promise to put them on the document the next day or so. By and large, I think it looks good, but there are certain things I would like to mention about it, points
okay.
of clarification, things like that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah. So if we scroll a little bit down, yeah, well, there are some things that will need to be included, as David just mentioned. I had a couple of questions here. So the idea is that once in a while ICANN launches specific reviews, and we need to appoint review teams. Review teams consist of up to 21 members, and for each specific review, there will be specific requirements for the people who will want to participate in these reviews. There are still things that are not entirely clear to me. For example, here, if we look on 4.5, selection of seasoned or appointed members, my understanding was a little bit different as it's worded here. Well, so my idea is that my understanding of the bylaws, of the language in the bylaws, was that if we come up with up to three nominees, as long as they qualify, they are accepted. Well, they are on the review team. But we still can come up with up to seven candidates. And in case others, other communities, they do not come up with at least three candidates, then the chairs of these ASOs, ACs, they will decide whether we just proceed with this, with whatever number of members on the team they have, or they can decide that. Okay, let's have more, and then they will decide which people to take on these review teams. But that's my understanding. And if it's so, I don't know if we can tell them if we come up with, for example, five potential candidates to the review team, if we can say which three to take. Yes, but David, that's exactly the point. If we come up with more, can we take these three and these two are just in case? Or, again, they will do the same as we expected to do with liaisons for CSC. Well, we hope that other communities will appoint two people per seat so that we can play around and choose people to ensure diversity. Maybe that's, again, if we come up with five, then these the chairs of SOACs, they can choose not to take the top three, but, for example, four or five, just to make sure that they ensure this diversity thing, if that's one of the requirements. But, of course, we can always come up only with three. But even if we come up with more and there are still seats and chairs decide that they will select some others, again, we cannot say which one to take. Okay, that was my understanding of the process, and I still don't quite understand how far we can influence the outcome. Okay, that was one of my comments. The next one was... okay, Martin, I'd be concerned if CCNS or preferences were open to change by others, but that's the case with others as well, so we can also, that's, if we come up with three, it's fine, they are on, unless they do not qualify, their skill set I think that, well, again, we should read the, yeah, please, Martin.
Thanks, Katrina. Just to expand a bit on my concern is if we have three candidates that we put forward, all three go forward, if we were to have three outstanding candidates and two that we considered good or at least acceptable, I think I would be concerned if there were now to be the option in getting the full slate for the committee. It was possible to take just one of the three excellent candidates and the two that we had classified as being just merely acceptable. And in fact, I would see that as a disincentive to put forward more than the slate, which I'm sure isn't what this this was in aid of. I think the idea of the filling empty seats because you have more candidates from certain areas than for others was for there to be no big gaps. And you know, I can think of an immediate example. If you did a who is review, bearing in mind that doesn't affect CCTLDs, it might well be that nobody's really particularly interested in wasting or using up a year of their time having discussions about GNSO CCTLD. Whereas it might then be because there were quite strong candidates from other areas, quite reasonable to use the CCNSO seats to get a stronger range of input on those who specifically do know stuff about GNSO CCTLDs. I'd see that as being the reason for doing it. I feel a little bit nervous by the statement that, well, if we put forward five candidates for three slots, it might actually then be open for those compiling the review team to decide which three of the five they're going to take. And I think that is our choice, not theirs. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. But well, actually, that was that's how I understand the bylaws. May be wrong, of course, but this is how I understand it. Yeah. But okay. So somebody with more experience in bylaws wording, like David, for example, it would be great to have a deeper look into that. There's another comment. This is something that we had also on CSC. The chair of a review team may request the removal of the review team member. I cannot find it in the bylaws. It might be in, I don't know how these review teams are, do they have charter for each review team? It might be in that document around the particular review team, but in the bylaws I did not see anything like that. So either I missed it or it's really not there, and if it's not there, should we have it here? That's another question. Yes, Martin?
Thanks, Katrina. I feel a little bit confused at the request for removal of a CSC member selected and appointed by the CCNSO Council, and I wonder whether we've just unnecessarily cut and pasted from that particular guideline section, in which case that becomes irrelevant unless we can find a similar clause that the chair can request removal of any member of the review team. And I, like you, I cannot remember at all exactly what that one says. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, so this is also something to look into, and again about the vacancy. I think that's another part from the CSC guideline that needs to be reviewed. Okay, that's around my comments on this. Stephen is not on the call today. He promised to have a look at the first look on this guideline. So, fortunately, he's not here, cannot hear his opinion. So I understand that David will write his comments and will send it to the GRC mailing list. So it would be great if some others also could have a look, and it requires some bylaws reading there's a part around is review teams. So if you have time, it would be really great if you could have a look, and Ben also agreed to have a look and comment. Okay, so thank you very much. I think we do not have any more guidelines to review at this moment, but we will need to work on other guidelines as well. Yes, Martin, don't count on the fact that we have finished everything. Now we still have a lot of things we need to describe, and some things go rather smoothly, some require a lot more in-depth understanding of the processes and new bylaws and everything. So thank you very much for your hard work and for joining the call today. I hope that we'll see all the action items in the notes. Thank you, Jokke, for taking the notes. And we just need to move on and improve the documents we already have and think about the documents we still need to develop. So any other business, any other proposals, questions, comments, anything? If no, see you in 2 weeks. Thank you again for being with us, and see you online and definitely on the call in 2 weeks. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a nice week.
Yes, you too.
Goodbye all.